You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
That's my problem with this list, man.
It's a lot.
The stuff I was listening to in 2000, like, I wasn't listening to these definitive 15s in 2000. I wasn't.
No?
Nah.
You ready to talk about this?
Yeah. Like,
all right.
Okay.
No, go ahead. Get your
bars on. I wasn't listening to Nelly in 2000.
Why not?
I mean, I was because at the time, this is like when I started sneaking into clubs and they would have all ages night on Sundays. So like 3-day weekends, I'm 15 years old in the club. When that stuff comes on, sure. But like my history, I've talked about this, but like, you know, being from St. Louis, I would go to St. Louis in the summertime and my cousins would say, yo, they would put me on to what was going on locally, like fashion, all that. So summer 99, they were like, yo, St. Lunatics, crazy, got to check them out. So I heard Country Grammar way back then. Then in 2000, I get in my like underground backpacky bag.
Mm.
A backpacky bag is hilarious. And so Nelly becomes like the antithesis of all things good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not trying to hear that. I'm listening to Alchemist and Dilated Peoples and Reflection Eternal. Like, I'm not trying to hear Ride With Me. I'm listening to a lot of Rockefeller. I'm listening to For the Fam. But I almost feel like if I don't add it to my list, I might have to like switch my list around, because I feel like you're going to have all of those obvious songs because it's great music. 2000 was a great year for music, but I don't know. It's just different.
So we're talking about our definitive 15 songs from the year 2000. And when we have done this in the past, we always try to establish our criteria up front. And the general idea is you've got 15 songs to play for somebody. So Armand, you can imagine this is for your kids, right? You're like, I want them. So it could be you want them to know your favorite songs from the year 2000. It could be I want them to know what the world was listening to. It could be here's 15 songs that a lot of these were popular, but actually some of them we realize later might be more important. Like you could approach it in all sorts of ways.
Absolutely.
How did you approach your list? Or how are you? It sounds like you might be reworking on the fly.
Yeah, because 2000 was the year that I became a man.
Oh, Lord.
Let me quantify that.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is that was the year where I really came into myself. I was like 15, 16. So this is like, I'm just exposed to a lot of new things. So this is like the height of like cable internet. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is when things were beginning to release online, like regularly, where versus like 98, 99, you kind of had to like dig and find your leaks and your music and all that. And, you know, when we were on Soul, like that was a really like niche thing, but a lot of things begin to cross over. We talked about that on the Nas episode of Clock Radio Speakers, the Patreon, when we went into like the I Am bootleg and stuff like that. So there's the internet becomes really, really big and CD burners become a really, really big thing. And I think we got a 16X burner, something like that, 16. And that was, I think that was like 10 minutes. That was a rap after that. This is when I'm learning to rap, where I'm really coming into myself as a rapper. This is when, you know, I'm beginning to like explore the fact that I like girls and the girl might kind of sort of like me back too. So I'm getting in my R&B bag a little bit.
Did you include R&B in your list, by the way?
Of course I did. Oh, I have a whole set.
That's going to throw me for a loop, but that's okay.
Well, I'll say this. I only put one, I believe one, maybe two songs on the list, but I have like R&B honorable mentions. I have a whole list of honorable mentions.
Okay.
So yeah, there's a lot. I was just changing in life. So I kind of want to be like, yo, if I was to like wrap up the year 2000 for my kids, I think you make a good point. Like, what would I play them? Would I play them right. Country Grammar? Maybe not, because my daughter's mom, I make fun of her all the time. Like, she had Rule 336. She had Pink's first album. She had Wyclef the Carnival. Yeah. When people thought Pink was a light-skinned black woman.
She was more than happy to let everybody be ambiguous about it.
100%. Yeah. So like, there, you know, her mom can tell her that story. I can tell her the other side of like, yo, you know who M.O.P. is? You ever heard of Shine? Ever heard of Talib Kweli and High Tech? Stuff like that. So I don't know. Maybe I'll do it on the fly. Maybe not.
Yeah. So if you're talking R&B, that means you've got to have the Let's Get Married remix on your list.
I don't.
Just kidding.
I was like,
that's just college right there.
Oh, it's a timeless song.
Yeah,
it's a timeless song. Timeless song. Listen, my R&B bag is very like sultry and seductive.
So you got Voodoo on there.
Yes, I do have a D'Angelo record. Yes.
Okay. All right, my list is all hip hop because there was so much I couldn't even try to quantify like where I wasn't even trying to figure out like where I'm putting R&B. Mm-hmm. That's the way I approached it. Mm-hmm. So where do you want to start?
I have a list and you have yours broken down, right?
Yeah. So it's funny that you started talking, when we started talking about this, that you were talking about how like you were like getting into like a backpacker kind of sound. And like, I want to throw this out there. I think 2000, and I got a specific song in mind, is the peak of what we might think of as the backpacker movement at that time.
You think that's the peak?
I think there is a point at which like that is the peak for a certain kind of fan of a certain kind of late 90s hip hop. Everything looked like it was just going to be amazing, but by the end of the year a lot had changed.
Okay, I'm rolling. It's peak in popularity but not necessarily in quality.
Well, there's a song I have in mind, and I was debating if it should make my list, but I almost feel like it has to because of what it represents, in addition to being a song I loved. Okay. And that's Common Sixth Sense.
I fought it. It's currently on my honorable mentions list. I fought it.
It was
because that album was...
It was a late addition to my list, but it's a great song. Mm-hmm. But so first of all, this is the first single off the album that Ruckus was trying to sign him to make, right? Ruckus was trying to sign him in 99.
Mm.
And so it was because they wanted like this album. They wanted this Common, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a Primo produced first single.
Mm-hmm.
This might be the last time an upper echelon hip hop artist has their like lead single produced by Primo.
Mm.
Right?
Okay.
I'm trying to think of it. I mean, like, you know, Royce gets Boom, but Royce is like, nobody really knows who Royce is when that happens. He's not in Common's league anyway, right?
Wait, Boom is 2000, isn't it?
2001? I think it's 2001.
Hold on. I feel like it's 2000. It is 2000.
Oh,
actually, no. It might be 99.
No.
Because no. Hold on. This is why. Because there are two versions of Boom.
Yeah.
There's the version with the hook that was on the Carmen soundtrack. And then there's the regular one. Yeah. See? Released December 14th, 1999.
Mm, I forgot. So, I didn't even think to include Boom.
Dog.
Man, you're right.
See?
That's a late addition to the honorable mentions, that's for sure.
At least. So, that's one of the most important songs of my life.
Well, that's interesting. I don't know if I'd go that far.
No, I mean, it is. It is. Yeah, absolutely. Like, Royce is one of those people where Royce was one of the first people that I looked at and heard rap and was like, I want to rap, and I want to rap better than everybody else.
Mm.
And he raps better than everybody else.
Mm.
And then that was also the DJ Premier is unreal.
Right. It's just unstoppable.
Yes. So that's why that song means a lot to me. That's why I say
it. Totally get that. So I think Sixth Sense is the last time because Nas is like the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And now we've got Sixth Sense. And I think that might be the last time that like, an A-plus artist has like their lead single produced by Primo.
Okay.
So the next Common single is The Light, which we need to talk about at some point.
Okay.
And is the signal to Common, oh, I can cross over.
Mm.
The Light is the most important song of Common's career.
It is.
So his career is never the same after he does The Light. Right?
I agree.
Additionally, later on in 2000, Lyricist Lounge 2 is going to come out.
No.
And it's going to completely go against the entire Ruckus ethos.
Mm.
Have you looked at the track? Have you ever looked at the track list for that?
Lyricist Lounge 2?
Yeah.
I remember it's got, so Oh No's the single, right?
Oh No is the single. But like there's a Beanie Siegel record called Get That
Get
Dough.
Get That Dough. Yep. Produced by High Tech.
Right.
There's an intro with a Biggie verse from the Lyricist Lounge.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. But like the lead single is like Mos Def and Pharoah Monch with a Nate Dogg hook on a Rock Wilder beat.
Yeah.
That is not Lyricist Lounge at all.
Not at all. Not at all.
But like Raucous was like, oh, so we did Sound Bombing too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's throw a little more money at this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I get it. Like, Oh No was a big single.
Mm-hmm.
But like, and I enjoyed that song. I mean, I listen to it now and it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, you listen, sometimes you listen to like an old rap song and you're like, wait, what are they even rapping about on this song? Like, what is Oh No about? It's about absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
But that's fine because it was catchy and it worked. But like, Lyricist Lounge 2 was just like, you're just sitting there, you're like, wait. I mean, now granted, it's got like Right and Exact, which is a great Alchemist beat. It's got the Grimy Way, another dope album. Right. It's got the legendary Street Team remix, which is another great Alchemist beat. Right. But it's also got like a JT Money, Pastor Troy song produced by Scott Storch. Right. So like things had changed. Right. And then by the end of 2000, right. Like if you think about like artists that we knew and loved in the 90s, right. Like Jay, by the end of 2000, has discovered his new sound. Mm-hmm. Right on Dynasty, he zeroes in on it. It's and all throughout his singles in 2000, many of which we're going to talk about today, right? But he's got Kanye, he's got Just, and then he's got big name producers like Tim and Neptunes to fill out the rest. This is the new sound, right? Dynasty is the blueprint for the blueprint.
Don't forget, before he gets, I agree, absolutely. Yeah. But don't forget, there are two producers that I feel like we're supposed to go along for the ride. One kind of did and one did not.
Ty Fife and Bink.
No, not Ty Fife.
Oh, who you got?
Rick Rock.
Well,
I feel like they were really, if they go with them going with, originally going with Parking Lot Pimpin', lets me know that they were trying to make that sound the sound.
Sure.
It was going to be the balance to the soul samples.
Right, right, right.
And then the Neptunes came in and were like, nah, 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 nah.
They came through and crushed the buildings.
Yes, they did.
But like also, 2000, like by the end of 2000, right, the Nas, who all of the backpackers had like been like, oh yeah, he's back with Nas, is like, by the end of 2000, he's making Uchi Wally.
Yeah.
Right. And so this divide that existed in the 90s of like, oh, like this backpack versus shiny suit concept is dead. And instead, you have artists kind of trying to do it all, but like in a totally different kind of way. Like the sound totally flips, right? Like Jay's stuff doesn't sound anything like what he was doing a couple years before. Like Ja Rule totally changes his style up. Like it's just different.
Mm-hmm.
So like this is why I'm telling you, this is why to me, for that like first wave of Raucous Records / Common / like all that sound of like 97, 98, 99, Sixth Sense is the peak of that, and it's never the same. That's that's my theory. And so it made my list because to me, it's like a story. It's like kind of, now there are still dope records after that, but like to me, that is like kind of the closing of that chapter. Now there's still a ton of like, there's this whole other like wave of like independent and underground stuff that still happens in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
But like, after Oh No, like what happens to Mos and Monch, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah, Mos kind of goes into acting. Yeah. That's Carmen. That's and Pharoah. I think the lawsuit. When did the lawsuit happen?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because that was peak.
Yeah, the lawsuit was like 2000. I think, is that right? Yeah, but like I mean, it's just not a whole.
Yeah, it says it says the uncleared sample use caused a halting in the album's distribution.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So you had to like, that's crazy.
Yeah. So
okay.
You know.
Oh, no.
So that's my theory about Sixth Sense. So I put it on the list.
I'll say, okay, so Sixth Sense is on your list, not Oh No.
I was going back and forth between the two, but I think Sixth Sense is a better song. And Sixth Sense is like the peak, and Oh No is more like the oh, this is what Raucous Records is going to do now.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
That's my series.
All right. Where should I go first? I'm going to go controversial first.
All right.
Let's start off with a hot take.
Mm.
So this was the first time that this group put out some music and the response wasn't overwhelmingly yes.
Hmm.
I think a lot of people said yes to it, but there was definitely a a no that was a little more than a murmur.
Okay.
But in retrospect, they were ahead of their time with this song. And I also did not want to feature any of the songs on this album because I hate them both. And that is Outkast, Bombs Over Baghdad.
So my list is basically, I'm trying to decide between Bombs Over Baghdad or Miss Jackson.
I don't ever need to hear Miss Jackson or So Fresh, So Clean ever again.
So Fresh, So Clean blows up as a single in spring of 01, so I bumped that.
Okay,
bumped
that.
Miss Jackson, Miss Jackson is the bigger hit.
Yes.
It is the song that, to me, points in the direction more of where Andre wants to go.
Okay.
Which is melodic. It's not the frenetic rapping necessarily, right? Like Miss Jackson is, I mean, he's singing most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, there's nothing like Bombs Over Baghdad when I heard it either. I mean, I love this. Stank On You is my favorite Outkast album. It's incredible.
Yeah, we
disagree on that.
Yes.
But I think that I don't know, like, it's interesting to hear you describe, when you started describing this group this way, I was like, oh, is he talking about Wu-Tang? But then I was like, no, wait, that's not true. Because Wu-Tang put an album out in 2000, but I was like, no. Like, because my recollection of Outkast was that everybody basically was like, every album, they just were getting better and more creative.
And there was such a stark split between people who liked Stank On You and people who didn't.
Yeah.
But their first three albums were overwhelmingly, we love this. And this was the first album where people were like, eh, I don't know. But Bombs Over Baghdad was a record that, again, being in the club at 15 years old, yeah, that record goes. But it wasn't Elevators. Let's look at Outkast's first singles. Players Ball, Elevators, Rosa Parks. Bombs Over Baghdad is not any of those records. It's a great record, but it wasn't either one of those. And I think this is the first time that Outkast, every single album is different from them, but this is the first time they make a hard left, and they continue to make hard lefts until they don't really like do music together anymore. And I don't think the response was overwhelmingly it wasn't overwhelmingly positive. It was positive, but it took them to do Miss Jackson and So Fresh, So Clean, which are more traditional Outkast songs, to calm people down. Because when they do ghetto music in 03, people are like, well, what? And God forbid the Love Below. People are like, well, what is this?
I don't know if I agree.
Okay.
I mean, first of all, like when you were listening to those first singles, Bombs Over Baghdad is the best of all of them, of all those lead singles. Okay.
Oh, whoa. No, it's not. Of yes, all sir. Of those. What? No. It's not better than Elevator. It's probably the worst.
Yes, it is. It's way better than Elevators.
No way.
And Players Ball is...
Don't do it.
It's the most overrated.
Don't do
most
it.
Most overrated song.
You're crazy.
Nobody listens to that song.
You're crazy. And the remix is amazing too.
That's crazy. That first Outkast album it's right up there with when people from New York pretended that they thought Scarface was a top tier rapper in the 90s. He very well might have been, but nobody in New York City listened to Scarface. They all pretended to.
I don't disagree.
We're lots of hot takes this week.
I don't know. We've said that on the show many a time. So I agree with you there. Like, but I don't disagree that people did not like Southern Playalistic as much as they said they would or said they did.
Yeah.
But people at least liked the singles. Southern Playalistic.
Good.
Yeah. They're good singles, but it wasn't. But the album itself was kind of like, you could hear what they were trying to do in retrospect. But at the time, it was like, nah, no. But AT Aliens, sure. Some people have that as their best album. Equimanize, I've gone on record, that's one of the greatest hip-hop albums ever. Easy.
Jazzy Bell might be a better song than Elevators.
The remix with Babyface.
Yes. Outkast just has incredible singles.
They do. I just think Bombs Over... I'm not going to let you get away with that. Jazzy Bell is better than Elevators. I'm not letting you get away with that.
I like Elevators a lot, but that Jezebel remix is incredible.
It is. It's fire. Super. Probably if we're going underrated Outkast songs or Outkast singles, it's top three. It's up there with Benzer Beamer and shoot. I would say B.O.B. is underrated.
It's incredibly underrated. Apparently, we're having this whole conversation right now. Yeah, I didn't even know it was underrated.
Doc, I've tried to explain to you many a times that you think that Equimini is their best album.
No, like, I think Stankonia is their best album.
That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry. Yeah. Stankonia is their best album, but like you're in the minority on that.
I'm going to get stereotypical here, okay?
Okay.
I think there's white people, how white people like Outkast, and I think there's how not white people like Outkast.
Okay, white people's favorite Outkast album is The Love Below.
Maybe.
Because white people's favorite song is The Way You Move,
which is on Speakerbox.
Well, yeah, okay, Speakerbox, Love Below. Okay, yes.
Okay, you're talking the combo.
Yes, yes, yes. Because of The Way You Move, and then like I think people. Oh, and Hey Ya, what? Oh yeah, that's white people paradise.
It's like the opposite of Gangsta's Paradise.
Yes, yes. Like white, if you play Hey Ya and The Way You Move back to back, oh, the floor is getting filled up, buddy.
Miss Jackson is an incredible song. Bombs Over Baghdad is an incredible song. I'm fine with either.
Okay,
fine with either.
All right.
All right.
Big bet. There we go. See, I said I was going to go hot take and controversial, and controversial it was. What you got?
Should we have the Ja Rule conversation?
Yeah, let's just get it out the way because it's probably going to be praise, right?
I think if you're trying to explain to people the sound of 2000, I think you have to put a Ja Rule song on there.
100%.
The question is, do you put It On Me or do you put Between Me and You?
Woo! I agree with you.
I have some questions.
Okay, I have an answer, but okay. Go ahead, go in.
Is Between Me and You the goofiest beat you've ever heard in your life?
No, because there are way more goofier beats on this Ja Rule album. I don't know what they were doing. That Murder Inc. sound is goofy.
Oh, Between Me and You has like, there's a lot of keyboards. There's absolutely. There's so much random stuff happening. So listening now, like Between Me and You might have been the bigger hit.
No.
You think Put It On Me was bigger?
Yes.
So the album version of Put It On Me is weird because they don't have a little Mo on it.
Correct.
So it was jarring when I was playing it back off streaming services. But to me, I think like which one you put, basically, it's like, what do you value? So like Between Me and You was really them saying, here's the direction we're going in.
Mm-hmm.
But Ja Rule is still very clearly like the Ja Rule from Hala Hala. Like he might as well be the same guy in that video,
yeah.
Right? It's still a very aggressive, like he hasn't smoothed it out quite as much yet.
Yes.
Whereas Put It On Me, you look at that and you go, oh, that's the template for the next 3 years of Murder, Inc.
Yep. Oh, no, no, what's wrong, no. Yo,
You is
like, that's the first, we're going to talk about, there's another song that I'm sure is on both of our list, but the opening to the song is like really it's hilariously disturbing. Like there was no couth for rappers.
Oh no. Oh no.
Like you're not even gonna try and like approach her in a respectful way, are you? Okay, so I pulled a doc and I pulled up Put It On Me and Between Me and You.
Yeah.
So US Billboard Hot 100, Between Me and You peaked at number 11 and R&B hip hop it peaked at number 5. Rap singles it peaked at number 11. Put It On Me, Billboard 100, peaks at number 8.
Yeah.
Hot R&B, hip hop, it peaks at number 2. Hot rap songs, it peaks at number 11. Mm. And then Rhythmic, I don't know what Rhythmic is. That, it's number 1 there.
Put It On Me is the bigger record. I think that's bigger, yeah. Put It On Me is bigger. Living It Up did bigger numbers than Put It On Me.
I can see that.
I mean, I think that's really just, now at this point, the Ja Rule machine is serious.
That's momentum, because I think is I'm Real 01 or 02?
I'm Real is 01. It's right after that. And it sets up Always On Time.
There it is.
Boy, he was just killing it.
Cranking it out.
Then What's Love?
Yeah.
Ain't It Funny?
Yeah. Rainy Days?
Well.
that's the end. That's the beginning of the end.
Always On Time. That's probably peak Murder, Inc. Like, yeah, that's their power.
Yes. That's like, dang, that's another hit, but I'm getting tired of them.
Well, the one, what's the one where they're remaking Grease?
Oh, Mesmerize.
That's really where you're like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, but that's when you can, I'm saying like Always On Time, I think like rumblings of people getting tired of them were starting to come up, but people weren't tired of the sound yet.
Yeah.
Mesmerize comes out, but then Mesmerize is also, as G-Unit is uprising, the combination of those two things just completely throws Jeffrey Atkins' rules.
Actually, like Ashanti's first album might be peak Murder, Inc., right? Because she has Foolish and Ain't It Funny, which she wrote and is actually singing parts of it on. And there's another song where she had like, she had three songs in the top 10 of the Hot 100 at the same time. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
That was dope.
Oh, Happy maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, Happy.
Yep.
She was on Down For You. She was on, yeah, I mean, you know, like it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
We'll talk about in future times we do this. I'm sure if we do 01 and 02, it's going to be a lot of murdering. But yeah, so you got to have Ja Rule on here. So I guess it's putting on me.
The Lil Mo version.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yep.
Let me tell you, when Lil Mo's not on it, you very quickly realize you're like, oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
The harmonies are struggling.
Yep. Yeah, she killed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she killed it.
Well, that's why they needed to sign Ashanti. They needed some, you know, if you're gonna keep having like people sing with Ja Rule, like you might as well also like get a percentage off that.
Yeah, but I'll say this: Ashanti doesn't have as strong of a voice as Lil Mo.
No, not at all. But like, you also need somebody to do, because what this eventually turns into is the Ja Rule stimulus package. And
yes.
So you need somebody to sing these references.
Yeah.
Right?
You're right.
But yeah, Ja Rule had a ridiculous... I mean, you know, was I listening to Rule 336 a lot? No. Were both these songs inescapable? Yes. All the time. You could not go anywhere. You could not go to a party. You were hearing Ja Rule.
Yeah, I feel like at this time, Ja went really... It wasn't cool for guys to listen to Ja.
No, I mean, it's such a stark, you know, change from his previous album.
Absolutely. Because everybody, all the guys loved Vinny Vedi Vici. Like, yeah.
I mean, Kill 'Em All.
I mean, holla, holla, really?
Sure, sure. And then
yeah.
He also, you know, they also have The Murderers come out in 2000.
When ran that back. The two best songs on the album aren't available.
We Don't Give a F is the best song on the album.
Yeah, it's not available on streaming services. Yeah,
it is. Isn't it?
No. Oh, album is, but that song and then the first song called The Murderers, those two songs are grayed out.
Interesting. I must have it just because I have it in my iTunes library.
Yeah, maybe. And I'm gonna see if it's on, maybe it's on Apple Music or Tidal. My sister made me get Apple Music.
There you go.
So now I have everything. Yeah, Murderers, baby. Oh, no. Okay. So it's on Apple Music, but it's not on
Interesting.
Spotify.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. We Don't Give a F and The Murderers are the two best songs on the album.
Yeah.
Hearing people yell and scream about murder is just...
It was a time.
Yeah. Like, Jesus. Why aren't you in jail? You're incriminating yourself. But I guess that's what the youths are doing now, right?
Well, you know. So Ja Rule had to be on the list.
Yes, on my list as well.
Okay.
On my list as well.
All right.
Yep.
Next up, what do you got?
All right.
There's a lot of obvious choices here.
There are, but I'm trying to figure out which one do I want to go.
Okay.
All right, let's just get this one out the way. I don't think this one will be such a deep conversation.
Let's do some deep dives.
This is one of my favorite songs of 2000. Like,
ooh.
It's amazing. This and another song, I was talking to my girl about this. Like, yo, like we really dance to these songs in the club. This one's a little more easier to dance to.
Okay.
The other song is not something you dance to at all. No, I'm sorry. You don't dance to this song at the club. You rap along to it with your friends.
Uh-huh.
And it's Shine Bad Boys.
I'm debating this one.
Okay.
This is I've got two spots left and this is in that group. So pitch me on that. Why this song?
I don't have like this, oh, it had this impact. I don't have the Ja Rule or Outkast conversation for the Shine record. This was just... It was like the antithesis. It's kind of an example of that. Like in 2000, everything is going on at the same time in hip hop.
Yeah.
So you have Ja Rule going pop. You have Ruckus. You have Common. You know, we're going to get into some Southern and some Midwest hip hop. You have Eminem. You have all these other rappers. And then you have like this kid from Brooklyn who sounds like Biggie. And his first single is like this Jamaican record.
Can we clear the air on this?
Sure.
He does not sound like Biggie. the further away you get from 2000, the more you listen and you realize he doesn't sound like Biggie.
Doc, come on.
He has a husky voice. All it takes?
I mean, yeah, because you also had I don't think you were privy to a Christian rapper by the name of BBJ.
No.
Who was fat and husky and also had a voice who sounded like Biggie. Fat so they called him the Christian Biggie, which was hilarious. So there's that guy. But yes, oh, there's also your man Gorilla Black.
Uh-huh.
There's Gravy, who at least, you know, made some money off of it, starring in every single Biggie anything that was shot for TV or movie.
But there were guys who sounded like Jay.
We're not there yet, but yes, we're gonna get there soon. And that comes very swiftly, very quickly. No, this song is just hard. Yeah. This is an amazing song. And who wasn't singing along with Baron Salivi on this hook?
Yeah.
It's so fun to sing.
Yeah.
Shitty-ding-ding-ding. It's fun. It's great.
Oh. All right. That's in consideration for my, but I hear you. I mean, it was definitely you know, this was a rough time for Bad Boy.
Okay.
Right? Because the locks leave, Mace goes wherever. But 2000, you know, Shine. And also, I mean, I might as well just talk about it now. You got Black Rob. Whoa.
The other song that people were dancing to in the club. And every time I hear it, I'm like, yo, like this was the song.
Yeah.
Like this used to go in the club. I just want to paint the scene in the picture for people. Like women were dancing to this song in the club with guys seductively.
Seductively.
So seductive. Tony Yayo. Yeah, no. Woe's 100% on my list. But please go ahead.
No, I mean, it's, man, Black Rob. Boy. Life story. We've talked about it on this show before. Probably. I mean, it's not perfect at all, but I guess I would say it's like maybe the most one of the more underrated New York City albums of that era for me.
The highs are really high.
The highs are really high. Now the lows are, you know, it's a post 97 Bad Boy album. So you're going to get some questionable Puff records.
Yes. They're running out of things to sample.
Right. PD World Tour, Muscle Game. Basically, if you saw Mark Curry, you were probably in trouble. Like down the line joint. Yeah, no. If Mark Curry was there, it's like,
You like Despacio, though.
I do like Despacio, actually.
Okay, there you go.
It's Espacio, not you. You said Despacio. Like, I was like, is that Despacito? Like, which one?
Oh, I thought I said Espacio. My bad.
That's
my
all right. Bad. But no, like, I like Life Story. I like Whoa, obviously. You Don't Know Me. I mean, look, we don't have to say. What else can I say about Joe Hooker, right?
He's friend of the show. Clock Radio Speakers, Bingo Board. Oh.
Joe Hooker could definitely come out and do a Joe Hooker set at our festival.
1,000,000%. And he's high on the bill.
But he's not playing You Don't Want to Play Around.
Yeah, he is.
No, that's a terrible song.
I know, that's why he's doing it. He can squeeze it in the middle of the set, like between records.
I mean, a song I love so much that I almost considered it for my list, Can I Live?
Really?
Oh my God.
Listen,
I know.
Can I Live is amazing.
Can I pitch Can I Live real quick?
Sure, please.
It's a glimpse at what might have been. Because it's the locks. It's Black Rob. It's a fantastic D-dot beat. Like, it's a glimpse, because this album is almost, you know, this album is long delayed, largely recorded in 98, 99, doesn't get a release date until, you know, they're putting out singles. I mean, I Dare You, like, comes out in like 98. You Don't Know Me is 99. Doesn't really get going until Woe starts building a buzz, because, you know, Puff, he needed like a hit, you know, he needed a crazy hit. But the locks, they leave Bad Boy in 99.
Mm-hmm.
But this still remains, and it's this last little bit of like, this right here, this could have been Bad Boy's future. Mm. And instead, after this, you know, Diddy kind of restructures a little bit, and you get Bad Boy for Life, and he goes in like in a different direction altogether, kind of with Bad Boy folks. But like, this is a little, could have been. But it wasn't enough. I mean, I love this song, but that wasn't enough to get it over the top for me. Because there's a lot of records in 2000. And it's hard to just get away with putting album cuts, because there's a lot of incredible singles that define a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But man, Can I Live? Oh,
it's a great record.
Incredible song.
Yeah, great record. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. Jada destroys that. Yes.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, Jada destroys
that. But yeah, no, Whoa, I mean, what, you know, huge hit. Got Black Rapper release date. Yep. New York was, you know, New York rap was really trying to find its sound.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of difference. I mean, there was very clearly the Rough Rider sound.
Mm-hmm.
And Irv Gotti kind of had, he was developing a Murder Inc. sound.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay is starting to shake out his sound. Although I mean, that's the amazing thing. We haven't really talked about Jay yet. Jay's single run in 2000 is unbelievable.
Okay.
He's got Big Pimpin', I Just Want to Love You,
mm-hmm.
Best of Me Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
What am I missing? iPoppy.
iPoppy, yep. But I mean, are we just talking about Jay or are we talking about Rockefeller too?
I mean, that's what I mean. Like, so I was just saying, like, in terms of sounds, right? But like, Bad Boy didn't really have a sound at that time. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I agree.
Whoa is kind of like an attempt at that, but it's really just a one. Like, no, what other song sounds like Whoa?
I agree.
So we'll come back to Jay in a bit, I'm sure. But Whoa had to make the list.
That town, she was Whoa. Yep, I agree. Also on my list.
Okay.
Okay, let's keep it with the New York sound.
Okay.
One of the most dangerous records to hear in a club.
Excellent. I know exactly where this is going.
Yeah, I don't need to say anything else then. M.O.P. Ante Up.
I hate Funkmaster Flex on the intro to this on the album version.
Yeah, yeah. They really fumbled this. They overthought it.
Oh, yeah.
Because Ante Up was out for a while by the time this album came out, I believe. So I think it might have been that the idea of like, are people tired of this record? How can we spice this up? And the most New York thing in the world to do is say, hey.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all. Let's get Funkmaster Flex to talk on it. Yeah. Yeah. But no, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be pitching this song. My bad. No, I mean, I don't know what else you want me to say. This song is great.
Pure adrenaline.
Absolutely.
What Funk Flex would call a tunnel banger.
Absolutely.
Incredible horn sample.
Absolutely.
Shout out to DR Period, one of those producers who never gets a lot of love, but he produced a lot of stuff for MOP.
Shh. The Warriors out. It's crazy.
I mean, I've got some, when we get to honorable mentions, we're going to talk about some MOP records. But Ante Up, like, lives on, right? Not Absolutely. Just an incredible record, a big hit, but like, to this day, that beat, not only do you hear this in like movies and everything else, but like, I swear there's like one commercial where they basically, you can very clearly tell that the ask of whoever did the music was, what if you made something that sounded like Ante Up, but wasn't Ante Up? Mm. And every time I hear it, I'm always like, it makes me mad. I'm like, just license the song.
Yeah.
But Ante Up is great. Fantastic.
Yeah, I agree.
Is that MOP's peak?
Yeah. Yeah, this is peak MOP. They, you know, they're kind of on, they're on the ascension, they're on the rise, and then Warriors just kind of like sends them left. And then I think, you know, they get a lot of features. They infamously do the record with LFO.
Life is Good.
And, yep. I think that was on Bad Boys 2 soundtrack?
I can't even remember.
I think it was. And they end up on Rockefeller. And to be honest, them being on Rockefeller is like the beginning of the end.
You're right.
Don't they end up on G-Unit for a little bit?
Yep.
Oh, boy. Okay.
To that, right? When 50 signed Mob Deep, mm-hmm. right? Yep. So they put out some stuff on the Get Rich or Die Tryin' soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put together, actually, like, and then by 2005, I think they might even be off. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because they had records like Put It in the Air, with Jay. That's later on. Y'all right?
Yeah. That record is crazy.
Yeah.
Here Today, Gone Tomorrow. Like they got some Lucy's that were crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yep. Where do I want to go? We can keep it New York because we're gonna take a turn and not go New York eventually.
Yeah, but I have a lot of not New York on my list.
I'm going to keep it in New York.
Okay, let's do it.
One of The Alchemist's greatest beats ever.
Okay.
Maybe the last big peak of a legendary New York rapper.
Okay. Yep.
It's Prodigy, Keep It Thorough.
Oh, okay. I missed it. When is We Gonna Make It? 2001?
2001.
Okay. Whew. Keep It Thorough is on my list. No, it's on my honorable mentions. Honorable mentions. I'm sorry.
Ooh.
Honorable mentions.
Keep It Thorough. I mean, so this Prodigy album, man, long in the making.
Yes.
Source Ads appeared, like, he was working on this in basically the same time they were making Murder Music. Right.
Yep,
it was like
98.
This is going for Murder Music. This is going for Prodigy solo. This album doesn't come out until late 2000. You know, notably, wow, I can't even think of the name of the song. Oh my goodness. The Pharoah Monch MOP record, No Mercy. That beat was originally Prodigy's for his solo album. Album got delayed, so they used it in this other place. But good news, it's okay. Prodigy still got some ridiculous beats from Alchemist. Keep It Thorough is like, if I wanted to play somebody, like one of the purest expressions of like late 90s, early 2000s, East Coast hip hop, it'd be hard to find a better example than Keep It Thorough.
Mm.
It's not like when people think Mobb Deep, they probably think immediately either the first or the third album, right? Basically you say someone Mobb Deep, they'll say Shook Ones, or they'll say, Quiet Storm. But mm-hmm. Keep It Thorough.
Yeah.
The beat is ridiculous. Prodigy is about to go on a downslope, right? Like after 2000, after HNIC, Prodigy is not the same.
Doc.
It's true.
Don't do this.
This might be like the last A+ Prodigy record. Is that true? He's got on their 2004 album, they've got good records. But those records aren't really good because Prodigy's killing it.
Mm. Okay.
So it's on my list.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. What do you got next?
Should we get all of our New York stuff out the way?
We got to have a whole Jay conversation. We can save that if you want.
I've got one more that I should have brought this up when we talked about Ruckus, because I have a Ruckus record.
You have a Ruckus record?
Mm-hmm. It's on my list because it's one of my favorite songs of all time.
What in God's name did Ruckus put out in 2000 that made your list?
Talib Kweli, High Tech The Blast.
Oh, yeah. Not on my list.
Beautiful song. Mm. Yeah, I can't explain that other than, you know, I've talked about on the show what that album was to me. But that song in particular, just like, it's a perfect song to me. Perfect song. Love the video. Like, that's it for me. The Blast is amazing.
I've talked about it on the show before, but I'll say it again. That album confused me. It was not.
That's hilarious.
Like, I was expecting Black Star 2.
Mm, okay.
And that is not what that album sounds like.
Not at all.
And I also, was Move Something? Was that the first single?
Yes.
I do not like that record.
The beat is cool.
It's goofy. The song's a little goofy.
Man, okay.
It's not my favorite. So anyway, I've notably never been all the way in on Reflection Eternal, but I get it. I almost forgot about that. Let's talk about your man, your main man, Mystical.
Uh-oh. Problematic Mystical?
Is that his official name now?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, Shake Ass has to be on this list, right?
Shake It Fast is on my list.
Shake It Fast. So you have the clean version.
I do.
Okay. I thought there's a couple of things that are notable about this. I mean, aside from it just being a big hit, number one, this is when the Neptunes really start to take off.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? Because they have Super Thug in 98.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
99, they put out The Funeral.
Yep.
But the Clips album never materializes.
Correct.
And they do some other records, but like, it's not quite the same. Right? Okay. They didn't quite get to Super Thug status.
Mm-hmm.
But then 2000 is really when. And it's amazing. You go back and listen now and it's like, wow, they've just got so much mileage out of like a handful of like keyboard sounds and some really loud drums. And I love every second of it.
Okay.
Shake It Fast. You know, Mystical is he's a complicated rapper to make a commercial hit for.
Mm.
and they somehow got two out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Shake It Fast is the better of the two.
Absolutely. Danger was for the women.
Danger.
Girls like Danger. Yeah. Girls like Danger.
Because they just want to sing along to Been So Long.
Yep. Sing it. Yes.
What else is on this Let's Get Ready album? Have I ever really
heard this? Oh, boy. So it's like, it's got something that's actually on my...
Neck of the Woods.
It's on my honorable mentions. That song is amazing.
There's a song called Big Great. Truck Boys, which produced by KLC. That sounds like peak No Limit.
So it's, okay, so the album is weird. So I remember, God bless my father, he bought me this and Shine's album at the same time at the BX because they came out on the same day.
Wow, that's a big day.
Man, my dad's the greatest. So, so the album, and I wish my dad would like, as a parent, you just kind of realize like, you know, when you're throwing money away, you know, when you're paying stuff, you're about to buy something for your kid. You're like, yo, why am I buying this? Because there's an artist I want to talk about later on where I'm like, yo, why did I buy this album? It's terrible. But, oh my God, what was I going to say?
Talking about Neck of the Woods.
Okay, so the Mystical album is like, it's one third Neptunes because there's Jump on that album too, and Jump is dope.
And
Jump
Family. Really
dope. Family. I liked Family at the time. It's terrible.
I don't know if I've ever heard those two Neptunes records.
You haven't heard Jump?
I don't think so.
You've seen Any Given Sunday?
You know, I never have actually.
Okay.
Somehow I've never watched that movie.
Okay, yeah, it's on there and it's on the soundtrack. There's a Mobb Deep song on that soundtrack. It's pretty good too. Mm. Okay, so it's like one third Neptunes, one third like Earth Tone 3. So yeah, like there's some Outkast style beats.
There's three Earth Tone 3 beats. There's a Bink record.
Okay, I don't think I got
Mystical it. Fever.
Yeah, huh. And then there's like these No Limit records that stick out like sore thumbs because it's 2000 No Limit.
Oh, we got a Moby Dick sighting.
Yep.
Weird.
Crazy.
Do you know Moby Dick is still putting out music?
He was putting out a documentary on No Limit too. I believe.
It was called the Untold True Story of No Limit Records.
Mm-hmm.
He put out an instrumental album in 2010. You want to hear the title?
What's it called?
The Moby Dickstrumentals. That's so stupid. It's so stupid.
Don't do this.
He put out an album last year called Pseudo Cryptosexual. He put out an EP in 2016 just called hashtag Moby Dick.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. I digress. Anyway, Mystical.
Yeah. Okay. I'm done with Mystical.
Mystical?
Yeah, because we're going to be here all day.
Yes, we will.
We still have a lot to get to.
So, yeah. Mystical's on my list.
Yeah, Mystical's definitely on my list.
All right. What do you got?
I've got, if we're going to the South, where are we at? Okay. If we're going No Limit, then I'll go Cash Money.
Mm.
Big Thomas, Get Your Roll On.
This is in consideration for my last spots.
Okay.
Why this as opposed to Number One Stunner?
It's a better song.
I agree.
Better song, more catchy, Manny Fresh's versus classic. Hook is better. Had a dance to go with it. Introduced the iridescent PT Cruisers.
Have you ever driven a PT Cruiser?
I have not, but I really, really wanted one in 2000.
I drove one in the late 2000s for like a month because somebody like nearly totaled my car.
Okay.
And so I go to, you know, next door, like basically attached to the auto body shop was an Enterprise. And that's where they sent you when you brought it in. They're like, oh yeah, go get, you know, there's a rental car. Mm. They gave me a PT Cruiser without an aux cord. Or a tape deck. So like I had no way of like really hooking up my iPod at the time. Cause you know, this is like 2008, whatever, 2009. Gotta have the iPod hookup. But I drove around a PT Cruiser. It was like driving around in a poorly made hearse. It's a terrible car.
Poorly made hearse.
Like those 2000 GM cars are all like poorly put together plastic pieces of junk. Just terrible.
Oh man.
Terrible. But they made it look good in the video.
They did.
What about, how do you feel about Project Check?
I didn't really age that well.
I love those horns though.
Yeah, sure.
that might be my first, that might be the first time I really ever heard a Lil Wayne verse. And I was like, huh, okay.
Hmm, interesting.
Because I was not really big on early Lil Wayne on Cash Money.
Oh, man.
I was more BG.
Guy. Okay, sure. I was everybody but Turk.
Everybody
but Turk was good with me.
Turk was the awkward one in the boy band?
He was terrible. Yes, yes. He said he would scalp you like a scalper, and I lost it. He had no, wasn't working for me. Yeah, Get Your Roll On. Better song. Cash Money in 2000 is really weird because, like, all of the artists are kind of falling off. So Juvie, I think Project, what was on Juvenile's album? Her Mama, what was it called? Her Mother Has a Bottom Too. That song was out.
wait, hold on.
That was like the second or third single.
Is this there's G Code.
That was the single on G Code. The first single was You Understand, and I think Mama was the second.
I don't think so. There's nothing on G Code called Mama.
Really? Hold on.
You Understand and I Got That Fire.
Oh, I Got That Fire. Yes.
Project English you're thinking of. Project That's English. Next okay. year.
I Got That Fire. Okay. That's my bad. Yep.
It's all good.
Got it. Yep. Okay. So is that BG's not really doing anything in 2000. I believe he puts out Checkmate and it's not that good. Big Timers carry 2000 and then carry the label for the duration of the time there until Wayne takes off. Cause there's a period where Wayne is stinking it up. He's trying to figure it out in a post Hot Boys Cash Money. And those Big Timers records keep the company afloat.
Yeah. How You Love That was kind of like was definitely an underground success. But I Got That Work, right? Get Your Roll On, number one stunner. Oh, 10 Ways. Yeah.
10 Ways, yeah.
Stuntastic.
I think, Oh Yeah. Oh Yeah is on the album after that, right?
Oh Yeah, Still Fly. That's like is that the last big? I'm trying to think. What was on Big Money Heavyweight?
Nothing.
Oh, Down South is kind of hard though. I like the Screwed and Chop version of that. I used to listen to the Screwed and Chop version of Big Money Heavyweight all the time, which tells you everything you need to know about where I was at in 2003, 2004.
It's a good time. That was a good period in life.
But you're right. Like, I think you gotta have one of these Cash Money records. And I think Big Timers Get You Rolling. I think that's the right call.